and while I was sure that was true, it didn't actually explain to me why she stared at me with her tongue between her teeth as she said it. "Now go away. You're distracting me. I have serious work here."
"I can see that," I said. "Have you caught the killer yet?"
She snorted. "You sound like a reporter. Those assholes will be all over me in another hour."
"What will you tell them?"
She looked at the bags of body parts and frowned. Not because the sight bothered her. She was seeing her career, trying to phrase her statement to the press. "It's only a matter of time before the killer makes a mistake and we catch him."
"Meaning," I said, "that so far he hasn't made any mistakes, you don't have any clues, and you have to wait for him to kill again before you can do anything?"
She looked at me hard. "I forget. Why do I like you?"
I just shrugged. I didn't have a clue, but then apparently she didn't either.
"What we got is nada y nada. That Guatemalan," she made a face at the retreating Indio, "he found the body when he came out with the garbage from the restaurant. He didn't recognize these garbage bags, and he opened one up to see if maybe there was something good. And it was the head."
"Peekaboo," I said softly.
"Huh?"
"Nothing."
She looked around, frowning, perhaps hoping a clue would leap out and she could shoot it.
"So that's it. Nobody saw anything, heard anything, nothing. I have to wait for your fellow nerds to finish up before I know anything."
"Detective," said a voice behind us.
Captain Matthews strolled up in a cloud of Aramis aftershave, meaning that the reporters would be here shortly.
"Hello, Captain," LaGuerta said.
"I've asked Officer Morgan to maintain a peripheral involvement in this case," he said.
LaGuerta flinched.
"In her capacity as an undercover operative, she has resources in the prostitution community that could assist us in expediting the solution."
The man talked with a thesaurus. Too many years of writing reports.
"Captain, I'm not sure that's necessary," LaGuerta said.
He winked and put a hand on her shoulder.
"People management is a skill."
"Relax, detective. She's not going to interfere with your command prerogatives. She'll just check in with you if she has something to report. Witnesses, that sort of thing. Her father was a damn good cop. All right?"
His eyes glazed and refocused on something on the other end of the parking lot. I looked. The Channel 7 news van was rolling in.
"Excuse me," Matthews said.
He straightened his tie, put on a serious expression, and strolled over to the van.
"Puta,"
LaGuerta said under her breath. I didn't know if she meant that as a general observation or was talking about Deb, but I thought it was a good time to slip away, too, before LaGuerta remembered that Officer Puta was my sister. As I rejoined Deb, Matthews was shaking hands with Jerry Gonzalez from Channel 7. Jerry was the Miami area's leading champion of "If it bleeds, it leads" journalism. My kind of guy. He was going to be disappointed this time. I felt a slight quiver pass over my skin. No blood at all.
"Dexter," Deborah said, still trying to sound like a cop, but I could tell she was excited.
"I talked to Captain Matthews. He's going to let me in on this."
"I heard," I said.
"Be careful."
She blinked at me.
"What are you talking about?"
"LaGuerta," I said. Deborah snorted.
"Her," she said.
"Yeah, her. She doesn't like you, and she doesn't want you on her turf."
"Tough. She got her orders from the captain."
"Uh-huh. And she's already spent 5 minutes figuring out how to get around them. So watch your back, Debs."
She just shrugged.
"What did you find out?" she asked. I shook my head.
"Nothing, yet.
LaGuerta's already nowhere. But Vince said..." I stopped. Even talking about it seemed too private.